have been assigned some scripture in Philippians because you guys are going through Philippians, I guess, huh? Great book. Amen. I mean, here's a guy that's in jail. His name's Paul. And Paul's writing a letter to a church that he loves with all his heart. And man, he's going to get down with the church. As a matter of fact, when you get into the next few weeks, Paul's going to call those religious people, and if you're religious and you're here and you're trying to make it to heaven on your religious efforts, your religion, you're not going to make it. Paul calls them dogs. You know what Paul called dogs before he was converted to Christ Jesus? The Gentiles. You and I were the dogs. And now Paul's calling the Pharisees and the scribes dogs. That's what happens when you meet Jesus Christ. So when Caleb called and he asked me to come, and I appreciate coming, he assigned me this passage of scripture. I've been through about every book there is, and I've been through Philippians before, but if you've got your Bibles, turn over to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 19 through 30. Follow along with me, please. I don't know if you're usually standing or sitting, but remain seated. When you got a back like mine, anytime you get a chance to sit down, you sit down. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered within. I received news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not for those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Now, he's in prison, but he's confident that he's going to get out. Amen? I don't know if you've ever been in prison or in jail. I had the privilege of working in a Navy brig for 2 years and a Marine Corps brig for the last 6 months. And I know what it is to be locked up, even if you're not a prisoner, because they lock the doors. But Paul writes this, he says, but I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. And if I didn't pronounce that right, I've pronounced it several ways. So call him Ed, okay? I'm going to send my fellow worker, the fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Lake Center Baptist Church. I ask that you would bless and anoint me as a human being, that I might be able to share all that you would want me to share, no more, no less. And Father, that I would be controlled by your Holy Spirit who lives inside. I ask that you'd bless each and every person that's in this room. And Father, I ask that you'd begin to speak to that one that's here without Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that when they leave this place today, that they will know Christ as their Lord and Master. For I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. When Caleb gave me this passage of Scripture and asked me if I'd stay in this, and I said, sure. First thing that came to my mind was walking the walk and not just talking the talk. It's real easy to talk religion, but it's very hard to walk the walk. Now, Paul is giving reference to two different men, and we're going to look at these men and pick from them and learn some things that may help you or may help me be able to walk the walk that God wants us to walk. You must be able to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. I found this to be very true in my life. Now, Paul talks about being the father to Timothy. I've been blessed in my Christian life. I have three fathers in my life, basically. I'm talking about spiritual fathers. The first one was Joe B. Williams. You might remember him, little bald-headed guy. Joe B. was probably one of the greatest men of God that I've ever been around in my life. The man lived and breathed Jesus Christ. His wife, Dorothy, his first wife, was quite an instrument to help him. And they had quite an influence on my life. And he was a father in the Lord to me. My second father was a guy named Frank Brusso. You'd like Frank. He is a Yankee from Brooklyn, New York. I mean, Frank was a person of his... like no one else. He was a character. You know what Frank did in my life? He was my Sunday school teacher. He taught me the Word of God. But then every Tuesday and Thursday night, he took me with him and we went to visit people. You know what that is, don't you? Where you knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm Joe Reeves from Gilcrease Hills Baptist Church, and I'm here to visit and tell you about Jesus." Frank taught me that. He was my second in the Lord. Frank went to be with the Lord quite a while back. He is an awesome person. The third father I had, spiritually, I've known for over 48 years. He's a deacon in your church. Every time, usually when I go into their home, I say, "Mom, Dad, I'm here." That's Bob and Donna Waller. They not only talk the talk, folks, they walk the walk. I was in Paul Harvey's book, there's a question that the firefighters of Fairfax County, Virginia, they were very unhappy with their new helmets. While the helmet had great color, it had a high-impact plastic, it was adjustable to the size that they needed, it resisted scuffing. So what was the question? That's what the town council was asking. "What's the problem, firemen?" Well, the answer was a small thing. Near heat, the helmet melts. You see, the helmet could talk the talk, but it couldn't walk the walk. There was an ad in a local paper that says, "For sale, parachute. Once used, never open." Talk the talk, but not walking the walk. Let's see what we can learn to walk the walk from Philippians 2, 19 through 30. First example is a man named Timothy. Paul says he's the father of Timothy, father in the Lord. Paul says Timothy is a talker, but he's also a walker, which comes with the call into the pastoral ministry. You have to be a talker because you have to stand in front of people and try to share what the Word of God is saying. And listen, folks, let me help you with the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, it's very simple. It's a simple book. It's a book that you ought to read daily. It's a book that you ought to implant in your heart. So what's different about Timothy? Number one, he's very secure in his beliefs. If you study Timothy and Paul, you'll find that Timothy is very secure. Now, Paul was very concerned about Timothy. He didn't bother Timothy for 6 years. He let Timothy grow in the Lord. You know, that's hard to do in the modern church today, because if you come in and you're walking, we want to put you in a place of action right quick. I experienced that myself. Shortly after I saved, they wanted me to work with the youth. Then they wanted me to be a junior deacon. They had a junior deacon program where the deacon served as a junior deacon to see if he qualified as a deacon. And it came down to me where I was questioned about, did I want to become a deacon or did I want to preach? God called me to preach. I told the guy, the chairman deacons came to me, he said, you want to be ordained a deacon or are you called to preach? You want to be? I said, I don't care what you do. God called me to preach. You didn't. Amen? You say, well, that sounds a little sarcastic. No, it's the truth. God called me, and he knew what he got when he called me. Amen? So what will he find about Timothy? He's secure in his belief. Be secure in what you believe. In Billy Graham's book, Life After Death, has a little girl walking in the country with her dad. Her eyes are fixed on the sky, and they're filled with wonder. She asked her daddy this question. Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what do you think the right side's going to be like? Amen? I've listened to their weatherman in Rogers, Arkansas all week about this cool front coming through. You'd think it's the rapture. I mean, he said, this is great. Yeah, it was. I got up this morning and it was nice. But I want you to know something, folks. We can't even imagine what the other side of heaven's going to look like. I tell you what I believe it's going to look like. It's going to look just like God. All God. Timothy was very secure in his beliefs. How secure are you? Are you secure today? Second, Timothy was a servant. His first service was to Christ Jesus. Any person that's truly been born again of God, his first service is to Christ. Jesus Christ is the reason we're here. The church would be different if she was a servant to Christ and Christ alone. There's an elementary teacher. She gives a science lesson with a magnet. Y'all know what a magnet is. At the end of the class, and she's using this magnet, and she's drawing things to the magnet and everything, and it's a science lesson to the little elementary students. And at the end of the class, she gives a quiz. I didn't like teachers like that. Did you guys? She wanted to see what they've learned. The teacher says, "My name starts with an M, and I have 6 letters in my name, and I pick up things. What am I?" Over half the class came up with the same answer to that quiz. You know what it was? Mother. Mother. You want to know what servanthood is? Mother. Mother. Timothy was a servant. That was the second. And the third, Timothy was willing to sacrifice. In other words, to walk the walk, you have to be willing to sacrifice, number one, your time. Your time. You're on God's timetable, not yours. Number two, this always gets people, your treasure. I notice there's a clock up here. I'm covering it up. Your treasure. You have to be willing to share your treasure. And then number three, your talent. Share your talent. Maybe you can't do a whole lot, but you can do something. Amen? Besides coming in and sitting in a chair and getting your hand counted, that you're here. God knows where you are, whether if you're here or you're not here. And that's what it's all about. It's all about God, folks. It's not about you. It's not about me. To be able to walk the walk, we must be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice. The second example is let's call him Ed. Who is he? He's different. He was sent by the church. The Philippian church sent him to minister to Paul. He's a church member. So what can we learn from him? Number one, and we'll get through before or around noon, okay? What are you used to getting through at? 11:30? Okay, Bill. Yes, sir. There'll be an invitation here pretty quick. Now, what about Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus. You have to understand I'm not Jewish. Matter of fact, I'm a German Cherokee Arkansasier. And we don't talk like everybody else does in Arkansas. Arkansas has its own language. And I took the Okie language over there, and they set me in place real quick. So what can we learn from Epaphroditus? Number one, he's a balanced Christian. What I mean by balanced? He's a brother to Paul. He's a fellow soldier. When I went to the VA a couple of months ago, I was walking in, and there in a wheelchair, I noticed a fellow Marine. And I walked by and I patted him on the back and I said, "Semper Fi, Bud." I call everybody Bud. And he didn't look at me. He didn't do anything. He just said this: "Till death." The word Semper Fi or Semper Fidelis means always faithful. Always faithful. His reply was, "Till death." I see a layman who has committed his life even to death to minister to a man in prison who becomes the one who gives us most of the books that we read in the New Testament, a man called Paul. He's a fellow soldier. There's a story that I really liked. It's about a little boy selling pencils door to door for a nickel each. He goes up and he knocks on the door, and the woman comes to the door and he begins his sales pitch. He said, "Ma'am, would you like to buy one or two pencils from me? I'm selling these pencils at 5 cents a piece to help build a $30 million hospital for our community." She smiled and she replied to the little guy, "That's a mighty big job for one boy selling pencils for a nickel each." And with all the enthusiasm in him, he said, "Oh, ma'am, I'm not doing it all by myself. You see that boy across the street? He's my partner. We're doing it together." Beloved church, you must never forget, we do it together. You need me, I need you. That is the facts of Christianity. It wasn't by accident that Joe B. Williams stuck us with a couple, young couple about our same age, named Bob and Donna Waller. They're older than I am. And today's my wife's birthday, and here I am by myself. She turned 72 today. I left her a note before I left. I didn't buy her a card. I'm a cheapskate. I just wrote happy birthday, and I put six M&Ms around it. I figured that's all she needs anyhow. She robbed the cradle anyhow. I'm so much younger than she is. You believe that? I got some land I want to sell you. We must never forget that we need one another. Be balanced in your faith, folks. You can't say, "I don't need somebody." There's never been a loner like me that I know of. When somebody would come to our home, Joby would come to our house, I'd just sit there. He would give us all this stuff about Christianity and everything. Of course, Maxine was in church. I wasn't. I'd sit there with my can of beer. I'd drink my beer, and then I'd just get up and go to bed, not say a word. I found out we need each other. I found that out in the pastorate. No man's an island. You need one another. Especially if you're going to go out and tear the community up for God, you need to be a unit. You need to be converted into a unit. You need to understand what you are and who you are and what you can do and what you can't do. You can't do everything. I thought as the pastor I was supposed to be doing everything. You can't do it. You know what I did? I robbed my family of their father. My kids grew up without me. I was building the church. He was a balanced Christian. Number two, he was a burden Christian. What I mean by that, he had a submissive mind. His thoughts were not upon himself. His thoughts were upon the minister that he was called to minister to. The church needs people who are burdened. What's your burden today? There's a lot of different things to be burdened in the church today. Is it foreign missions? A lot of people are burdened about foreign missions. I've seen churches get so much into foreign missions that they forgot that their call is to first go to Jerusalem. The Great Commission says you take care of Jerusalem, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. What's your burden? Is it on foreign missions? How about local missions? Is it on local missions? Let me help you. How about the homeless? How do you feel about the homeless? Does it bother you that in this nation, as great as this nation is, and as wealthy as this nation is, that we got homeless? It bothers me, especially as a veteran, to realize a lot of those homeless people are veterans. Never accepted back into society after they've come back from a combat situation or whatever. Their minds, and they're never welcomed back. They're homeless. Maybe it's on the elderly. Have you been concerned about the elderly this week? I got a good friend right down the street. She could appreciate a call every once in a while. You might tell her to go on and get into a nursing home where they can take care of her. Be up straight. How about youth? Tyson, I know he's concerned about the youth. As your hair turns color, and it does, this is not fake. I didn't go to the beauty shop and tell them I wanted to be white-headed. God said, I'll take care of that. But on the youth, how about the children? Are you burdened about the children's department? How about the nursery? Nothing drives me more nuts as a pastor to listen to people like myself with white hair that come up and say, I've already done my part, let someone else do it. You know when your part finishes? Amen. When you're in this beautiful box, and your music is beautiful, and the preacher's trying to be beautiful, that's when you can say, I'm no longer needed. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Not before. Not before. Well, this, I just can't keep his name in my mind. He was called a minister to Paul. He was called a minister to a minister. Listen, folks, I've been in the ministry for a long time, and that's a special gift. And if you got it, use it. Number three, and this is a conclusion, he was a blessed Christian. He was a blessing to Paul. I mean, Paul's locked up in prison, and here this man comes from the church at the Philippian church. And he comes to minister to Paul. It's been a while since I preached. He was a blessing to Paul. He was a blessing to his home church. Man, they call for somebody to volunteer, and here he steps up and says, I'll go and I'll minister to Paul. And he does. He almost dies. But more than that, he's a blessing to us today, because he's in the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us what he did. Beloved, I want you to listen. And then I want to quote my Father in the Lord, Joe B. Williams. Are you listening? Joe B. said that so many times, I wanted to say, preacher, if I wasn't listening, I'd be laying down on the pew with my head on a pillow. And folks, in my 40 plus years of sharing the Word of God, I've had many a people lay down on the pew with their heads in the pillow. Listen now, we learn by example. By example of faithful servants that honor the right way to go. There's no one ever paid more attention than I have to people. You're a blessed church. I can't tell you that. You're very blessed. Man, you got Northern Californians sitting next to Southern Californians. And they love each other. You got one of the greatest men of God that I've ever met. You got a music man that could go any church he wanted to go as God opened the door. You got fantastic people. Now, a lot of you younger folks, I don't know. But you're fantastic. I think you're great. And I've got 3 minutes left. I shared with you earlier about my third father in the Lord. That's Bob Waller. He doesn't like for me to even recognize him when I'm in the pulpit. I figure this will probably be the last time I've ever asked to preach anyhow, so. I have watched Bob and Donna my whole life, for my Christian life. I was saved in 1969 on Easter Sunday. And my father in the Lord, Joe B. Williams, stuck me with Bob and Donna Waller, Maxine and I. And we have watched them walk in the Lord. Their walk is real. Walk it, don't just talk it, folks. Takes a lot to be able to talk and walk at the same time. Well, how do you do it, preacher? Right on time. We got 1 minute. You do it through the power of the third person of the Godhead. Who is that? There's God the Father, God the Son, and the God that lives in every born-again believer, God the Holy Spirit. He gives you the power, even if you're backward and you're a loner. Hi, my name's Joe Reeves, and I'm here to share with you about Jesus Christ. Could I come in? All they can do is slam the door in your face. Most of them will let you come in. Would you stand? Father, I thank you today for the privilege again to be here and to share and see people that you know and you love. I thank you for this awesome church. I thank you for Brother Caleb, and I ask that you bless him on his vacation time. And I pray, Father, that you've lifted up someone in this church that would be able to minister to the minister. I thank you for Tyson, for his love for you and his love for this church, and love for young people. And I pray that there's those that can minister to him as a called man of God. But Father, I pray that when I hear the report, and if I'm in Arkansas, or Father, if I have the privilege to be in heaven, that when I hear the report about Lake Center Baptist Church, it's a church that walks the walk and not just talks the talk. Lord, I thank you again for the privilege. Now bless this invitation, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is the cry of my